So this episode, I think we have to move on. If I may suggest it, the clock is not our friend, and we have many important verses to get to in the latter part of chapter 9 as well. So I will just jump in to suggest that there are two things to notice in the next 10 verses or so that there might be some comments on. One is that when he returns from the pool, he had been identified as the beggar. This was his character. He was the beggar. But when they ask him, what happened? Are you really the one who was blind? You used to just sit and beg. That's all you could do. Sometimes people would almost rather have us be beggars. They would rather us not be able to see, have our eyes open. But the Lord, the blind man here speaks about the Lord with a very simple understanding first in verse 11, that he's a man called Jesus. He knows this much about him. A man called Jesus, and he simply recounts exactly what happened. He listened well. He knew what the Lord said. He learned, could we say he learned one Bible verse. He heard what the Lord Jesus said to him, and he repeats it pretty much verbatim to those who ask. But then by verse 17, hearing some more discussion about what has taken place from others, when they ask him again in verse 17, now he says he is a prophet. This was something that the Pharisees, it was pointed out, had said earlier, this can't be a prophet. But here this blind man says he is a prophet. So I wonder if just for a few moments only, we could look at these two points and the verses intervening between verses 8 down to verse 17. And probably within another 5 or so minutes, we really should move onward to verse 24 so that we don't miss out on those verses as well.
So you might say, Steve, in verse 8, his resources had changed. He was known as a beggar. That is to say, he was dependent upon the resources of this world. And the believer that comes in touch with Christ, his resources are changed. A brother was giving thanks earlier or praying. It was all about the resources that we have in God. Wonderful thing to see. The second verse, his character changed. They couldn't tell. There was something different about him. Are you the same person? Are you the same individual that we know of? The character has been changed. And I would say his knowledge of Christ has increased. And these things should be seen in the life of the believer. That our resources are in God, are in Christ. Our character has been changed, and hopefully we trust the Lord that we are showing features of Christ. And also the knowledge has been increasing in Christ Jesus. And that's what should be seen in the believer, that there is more knowledge of Christ Jesus.
Pharisees would have known Deuteronomy chapter 18 that God was going to have another prophet, just like Moses, to come into the world. And this is that prophet, the Lord Jesus. He is that prophet. And they didn't recognize him as the prophet of God. So they would have known Deuteronomy. The scripture points that out, Deuteronomy chapter 18.
There's another thing we can notice about this man. He remained faithful to the events that had occurred. He knew that he was the one that was blind, and he knew that he had received sight by obedience to the words that he heard. If I'm a Christian, if I know the Lord Jesus, am I faithful to the Lord for what he has done for me? And is that seen in my life? Do I remain faithful? This man probably knew that if he changed his story a little bit, nothing would happen to him. He'd be all right. He'd be comfortable among those that had no faith. I wonder if I, as a believer, am more comfortable among those that have no faith. It's a challenge every day to be faithful to the Lord. But he desires that when he has saved us. He desires that we continue in faith with him. And that the picture of our salvation, which is not the same as this man's, surely not, but that it remains faithful to what he has done for us. The Lord wants us to continue, as long as we are in this scene, to encourage all to trust in the Lord Jesus. And we can only be faithful to that when we truly know him, and we want to please him, and we want to follow him. And this man remained faithful. You know, he was cast out finally. I'm jumping way ahead, but he was cast out. He knew this was going to happen to him. He was going to be rejected. If I'm faithful, if you're faithful to the Lord, you're going to be rejected. And we don't like to be rejected. We like to be accepted. but you can't be accepted by the world if you have faith in the Lord Jesus. And that this man was faithful.
He was straightforward in it. He said two or three times, I am he.
I am.
His neighbors said it was like him. Yeah. His parents finally confessed that was their son, but they knew they'd be cast out of the synagogue if they confessed that. But he says, I am he.
There was a statement he made in verse 11. He said, a man called Jesus. And as he listened to the dialogue, which led to a division, and the last comment in the dialogue was, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? I think that emphasis that Jesus is just a man must have impressed him. No, he can't just be a man called Jesus. He must be something more, that his testimony would increase in the knowledge that this must be a prophet. And he would say this after the division. He would align himself with those that want to follow the Lord Jesus. And that's a real step of faith. This man is growing leaps and bounds in a very short period of time. Many of us take years before we're willing to go from a man called Jesus saved me to he's a spokesperson for God. You know? And of course, we don't want to stop there either. We want to continue on the chapter.
And I think that's really the key point in the discussions about security. If you've had any encounter with believers who aren't sure on this point, very often the focus is me and experience. What we have here is the central figure, the Lord Jesus, and all that he is doing. And what happens is the man is resting in the assurance of this man, but wait a second, it's got to be more than a man. This prophet. And it ultimately gets to the point where he is the one who is worthy of worship. If I'm going to really understand security, it's tied with my understanding of the one in whom I'm secure in. It's not myself. It's not how much I believe. It's not how much I energize myself and try to believe more. It's the reality of this person and the more that I'm occupied with him. In Romans, there's a verse that I was talking about. I wanted to say this a little earlier. It says it's by him, through him, and to him. If I really want to understand the knowledge of God and the works of God, everything is by Christ, through Christ, for Christ. And if I don't get that, the sooner I get that, the more and more I understand the role of security.
That is the second time that expression, there was a division among them because of something. In chapter 7, I think it was touched on, there was a division because of him, because of who he is. And the world is divided today because of who he is. Some said this about him, and some said that about him. And the world is divided in chapter 7 because of him. When you come to chapter 9, there is a division because of his works. And that's touching on what you have said, Mark, in regard to whose work is it that secures a believer? Is it my work, or is it his work? And those who believe that, well, I have to work to get to heaven, or it's what salvation is by work, there is a division also because of that. It's whose work it is. And there in chapter 9, there is a division because of his work. And the third time it comes in the book, in the Gospel of John, is in chapter 10. And that's, we'll come to that when we get to it. And that is a division because of his word. But it's the Lord Jesus, his person, his work, and his word that is dividing the world.